This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Well, has no sense. Oh, my goodness. He says the prayer of faith. Save the sick, and look, the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, we need to see that we have the strength of prayer in our faith, but then we have the source of our prayer being answered by the Lord. Look at this. It's not, and that's why you got to quit praying and saying, Lord, I hope I can heal them. I hope I can deliver them. Hope I can pick them up. Hope I can get them right. You look at this. He said, and the Lord shall. So you have to rely on God. Your prayer of faith, your prayer of reliance, your prayer of trust, your prayer of alliance, because you're aligning yourself with the word of God. It should cause you to rely on God, and God, you, and he will be the one to what? Say or raise him up. And if he committed sins, guess what? He said they'll be forgiven him. So your prayer can raise him up. Yeah, he was in a low place. He was depressed. He was in the valley. But your prayer raises him through God. Amen. That's why it's important to pray, because, you know, some people, they get low. And we say, well, you know what? They ought to just stop that. They too old for that. But they low. Why don't we pray and let God raise them? Come on and say amen. And he said, if they committed sins, they shall be forgiven of him. Amen? They shall be forgiven. We have to have confidence. We have to have faith, because our faith is the strength and God is our source when we pray. Amen? We need to have confidence that the word of God, the power of salvation, God's word will be what we need. It's the source to get us out of the dungeon, out of the ditch, out of the valley, and cause us to be upright before God. All right. Verse 16 says that, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be what? Healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Look at that. He says, now we ought to pray for who? Our brother. Confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another. Acknowledge, fully agree, profess your faults, your shortcomings, your transgressions, your errors, your side slip. He said, confess those things one to another. But what he's saying here is that when we confess them, they have to be brothers. Amen? He said, acknowledge them. If your and this is the thing. Sometimes your brother can come to you and you can be at fault. And what it says here, confess means to agree with. If you are at fault and your brother say, hey, you know, that wasn't right. It's not our job to say, you know what, let me tell you something. You don't judge me. Don't tell me, what about your life? That is not the way we do it. When he said confess your faults, he's saying that you need to agree with your brother that you made a mistake. He's not saying that, well, let me go think about all the stuff I done wrong. Let me see who I can trust. About the preachers that got together. You know, remember the story about the preachers who got together and during the time when they were going through this confess your faults movement in the church? They got together and they said, man, we need to confess our faults, but we can't confess them to the people in the church, the laity, because, you know, they find out what we're doing, man, they'll leave the church. So they got together and they said, let's confess our sins. One guy, he said, man, brothers, I'm glad we got here today, that we were able to get together and do this, man. It's going to relieve my soul. He said, I just want you guys to know that I got a bad problem with women. I love chasing women. Then another one said, you know, brothers, I kill a pint right before I preach. I love to drink. And another one said, you know, I sometimes steal from the church. I my hands are a little sticky. Then the last guy, he said, you know what, brothers, I'm glad we are here today. He said, I'm really happy that we are here and that we're confessing our faults. He said, because my problem is I love to gossip. And he was going to tell everybody because he loved to gossip. So when he said confess your faults, notice what it says. It means, it's the word eleilon, which means to talk to one another in a mutual way. It means to acknowledge. It means to confess, profess, or just fully agree. I agree with you, brother, that I messed up. I agree that I need to change something about myself. Amen. I agree with you. Amen. And then he says, once you come to that agreement, look at this. Pray one for another. He didn't say call Sally on the phone and say, Lord, that boy done lost his mind. It's time to pray for him because he's down there with that girl again. That's gossip. That is not trying to get a prayer chain. Some prayer chains need some oil because it's full of rust. Amen. We got to know, we got to pray one for another. Pray for the who? The brothers. Pray for the brethren. Amen. That ye may be healed. Look at that. If we pray for one another, somebody's going to get healing. If we pray for one another, he says that we will get a heal. We will be made whole. That word healing or healed, it also means to be made whole. Not only will I get a physical healing, but I'll get a healing in my soul. I'll have a healing in my spirit, man. Amen. Some of us, we're not sick with our flesh. We have emotional disturbances and sicknesses emotionally that my entire being needs to be made whole. Amen. We have people among us, even today, that have emotional distress. They are sick in their soul. And they need a healing. But we have to pray one for another. You know the mistake that the traditional church make is that when somebody needs prayer and they are wounded in spirit or when they are stricken in their soul one way or the other, when they're afflicted, they want to know, well, what's wrong with them? They call, as soon as church is over, I've heard it, what they come up there for? The wrong thing for many preachers to do is to, you know, they call it, let me go investigate the altar. Doc, go investigate. You go down there and you, what you up here for? What you up here for? Then you turn around and you got people just gossip. They say they come up here because they've been sleeping with, you know, what kind of mess is that? Pray for somebody. It didn't say for us to turn around and tell everybody who been doing what or what's wrong with them. I don't see that in there, do you? It don't say turn around and tell everybody what's wrong with them. We need to pray, y'all. Yeah, we need to pray, but you don't need to know everything because God is accurate. He knows what you need when you need it. He said pray the prayer of faith. And look, he said pray, and when the word prayer, remember, it means also to worship over them. Pray over and worship over them. In other words, I need to create an atmosphere over them that God comes in. And the presence of God does what we can't do ourselves. But what I can do is I can create an atmosphere of prayer. I can create an atmosphere of praise, worship, and talk and communication to God. I can communicate with God so much that his presence is felt right where I am. If I'm talking to God, you ought to be able to feel the power of God when I pray. Come on and say amen. You ought to be able to feel God's presence. When I start praying, you ought to say, wow, I feel the anointing. And when the anointing falls, somebody can get healed. Somebody can get delivered. Somebody can get raised up. Somebody can be made whole. Whatever the need is, God can meet it. We don't have to say, God, you know what's wrong with them? God, I found out. No, we can say, God, we need your presence and let us get over them. Amen. Let us get over them. And then when God comes in, he'll get in them. Hallelujah. Let us pray over and God will get in. Then he'll raise them up. Amen. That we may be healed. That you may be healed. The reason why we're not getting healed in our soul, healed in our body, is because we are not following the order of prayer. We are not following the order of prayer. We're not praying one for another. We're praying for the other. We're praying for ourselves. We're not praying for one another. What do you need? I used to have a friend of mine. Whenever I saw him, a white brother, when I met this guy, it was funny because I had my back to him, and then I felt the power of God just all over me. And I turned around, and when I turned around, he said, "You my brother, you my brother." And he threw his hands up and ran over and hugged me. I'm like, this strange white man. But every time I saw him after that, he'll say, "Hey, my brother," he said, "what you need my daddy to do for us today?" And I say, "Well, I need, I guess, this or that." "You got it, daddy, you heard him?" And he go on. Strange, but he was powerful. Amen. Because he knew that we have to pray for one another. And he'll walk in, if I didn't ask him what you need, he'll say, "Well, I'm going to tell you what I need." Because I didn't ask him, but he'll tell me. He said, "I want you to agree." And we got to get together. We have to agree. The prayer of agreement. We have to pray together. We have to agree. We have to agree with what's going, you know, what we need God to do so that God will come in our agreement. Amen. That's where the blessing is. Remember Psalm 133 says in unity, in agreement. When we come into agreement, amen, that God commands the blessing in agreement. The reason the children of Israel could not possess the promised land with Moses is because they had no agreement. After those who disagreed died, then God let them possess what was promised. Your soul need to agree with your spirit. Your body's out of tune, so oh, Lord, help me. You live backwards by living according to your flesh. Well, my flesh won't tell my mind how to get it, so I cannot get it. And my spirit is way out of it. But when you live by the Spirit of God, that's why you have to walk by the what? Spirit. You live by the Spirit. The Spirit tells your soul what you need to want for. And that's why he gives you the desires of your heart. And so when your spirit lines up and your spirit is connected and your soul lines up with the spirit, he tells the body what to do. And when you have an agreement in your entire being, God heals, God delivers, and God blesses. But if there's no agreement, that's why he said double-minded. Y'all help me teach tonight. He's unstable in all his ways. He said, and if he's without faith, if he what? Wavers to my soul, it's not believing it because my mind, my will, my emotion, I'm emotional, I don't really believe it. My flesh don't believe it, but my spirit man do. Then there's no agreement there. And so he says, don't let that man think that he can receive anything of God. Does your Bible say that? Mine does. So if we don't need to think that we can receive anything from God because we're not in agreement, my heart ain't with it. I know my mind says, yeah, the word of God say this, but in my heart, I don't know if God gonna do it. Don't expect it. Hallelujah. Or is that anybody here that's getting some teaching today? We need to know. We need to know that God will, if there's a need, that God will meet our need. You trust, you can write this down. I don't have time to go through it, but Philippians 4:19, God will meet our need. If there is fear, God will replace fear with faith. Philippians 4:6-7, 2 Timothy 1:7. If there is a burden, God will do what? Lift our burden. 1 Peter 5:7. If there is a need for someone to be saved, guess what? God will deal with them according to 2 Peter 3:9. If there is sin, God will forgive it. 1 John 1:9. God will deal with every need and every situation. So what is our job? Our job is to pray. So he'll do it. Amen. Then look, James tells us, he calls us to prayer. Amen. And he tells us about how we ought to be confident in our prayer. But then James also tells us that prayer has a character. Amen. Look at this. He says, the effectual, fervent prayer. Stop right there. The effectual, the word effectual in the Greek is energio, where we get the word energy. Our prayers should be energized. Energy is equivalent to the word power. Our prayer should have, somebody help me. Thank you. Power. Our prayer should have power. And in order for it to be effectual or have energio, it should show itself effective by the work that it does. The effectual fervent prayer, to be fervent. In other words, really what it means is that your prayer ought to be so hot, so powerful, so boiling over with evidence that it works. Amen. That your prayer, it avails much because you're righteous. Amen. Your supplication, your request, your petition to God should be so energized, so powerful, that it avails much. Amen. That, in other words, the word avail is the word iskuo, which means to have, to exercise force, to be able, the can do, to prevail, to be strength, to be whole, and it means to have much work, much evidence of what your prayer can bring. So your prayers need to be exercised to the point that it brings much work. Amen. My prayer works so much. I pray so much. I have a life of prayer. I don't wait till when I wake up in the morning to pray. I don't wait till before I lay down at night to pray. But I pray all the time, all day long. My prayer's working. I'm thanking God constantly. I'm giving him supplication. I'm interceding. I'm praising him. I'm worshiping him. Guess what? All of that is a form of prayer. And when I do all of that, he says the effectual fervency prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man, a good man of good character, a man that's holy, innocent, that is just and have been justified by God because I'm in his presence. How do I become justified? By going in his presence. Why do you think Jesus, when he died, the curtain of the temple was rent? So that you can go in God's presence, so that you can become justified. Amen. So that you can obtain mercy, go boldly to the throne of grace, so that you can get what? Mercy. So now that you're in his presence, you can be justified. And because you're justified, I pray while I'm in his presence. I worship while I'm in his presence so that my people, amen, so that all of you can be healed, can be whole, can receive. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. It avails a lot. It brings a lot. It works a lot in my life. It brings a whole lot. It causes me to be blessed. It causes people around me to be blessed because I'm praying. Your children are blessed because you're what? Praying. Amen. You're blessed on your job because you're praying. Amen. If we do all of that, if we pray, then we'll be blessed wherever we go, however we go, when we go. You don't have to be fearful and say, oh, Lord, I'm scared to go because I just don't know what's going to happen. I'm not afraid now because I pray, and prayer, scripture says the prayer of faith, Philippians, what is it, 4? He said in the prayer, he says that that when we make supplication by what? Thanksgiving. He said, and the God of peace shall keep our hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. The God of peace, he'll give me peace when I pray. Amen. Amen. So we have to pray. Amen. Amen. Look at this. He says, Elias. But before I get to Elijah, let me tell you a story that I picked up from one of the illustrations that, you know, they got these books of illustrations and stuff like that. You can pick them up. John Newton had received from the Lord unbelievable answers to his petition, and he was talking about how Alexander the Great, there was a man that had a daughter. John Newton was telling the story how this man had a daughter and Alexander the Great wanted to marry her. And he said, what would you have me to give you for your daughter? And this man said, and he asked for an enormous, ridiculous amount of money. So the man went to the treasurer Alexander the Great's treasurer, then the ruler of the world. He says, I want this sum of money. And the treasurer said, oh, no, I can't give you that kind of money. That's way too much money. I can't give you that unless he tells me that himself. He went back to Alexander the Great, and Alexander the Great said, I like this man. The reason I like him is because he treats me like a king. He says, how's that, king? He's asking for almost all your fortune. He said, no, he treats me like a king because he realizes that I have enough as king and that I'm generous enough as a king. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we have to treat God like a king. We need to know that he has more than enough and that he's generous enough to give what we ask him for. And if a man can do that to another man, how much more we should do that to our Father, who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords. We should go to the throne of God with our petitions and honor him and view his love, his riches, his bounty, the bountiful blessings of our King. The last thing I'm going to say is Elias, verse 17, was a man of subject to like passions. It's also talking about confidence in prayer. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was a man of faults. He was a man that, you know, that had at one point when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. He was fearful, just like any of us can get, after God had done something powerful in his life. He turns around and go and hide from this woman because he feared for his life. Not only that, but he felt sorry for himself and he began to fall into a pity party. Lord, I'm the only one. Right? We do that sometimes. Oh, nobody help me. Look like I'm out here by myself. I'm with people, but I feel so alone. And we're hiding. I don't want to be around nobody. Just had a great revival. And people done turned back to God. Now you say, ain't nobody to love you like I love you, Lord. But he was a man of like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. Earnestly. Amen. He prayed a earnest prayer. A prayer that included worship. That it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Look at that. And then he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Look at this. He prayed that nothing would happen. And it didn't. Then he prayed again that it would rain. And he didn't pray for no fruit. All he prayed for was rain. When you pray for what's needed, say it again. He'll give you more than what you asked for. All they needed was some rain in the right place on the ground. Enough rain. And when the rain fell, and soaked up in the ground, it brought forth what? Fruit. And the people benefited. It was a drought. They had nothing to eat. Rain wasn't going to feed them. Rain wasn't going to make them better. But the result of the rain. Now I'm trying to say something. Maybe you don't get no better. You don't feel no better when you pray. You're not trying to feel better when you pray. But it's the results of your prayer that benefits you. You can pray. You can keep praying just like rain. Keep falling. Rain, just keep falling. Just keep praying. And maybe you cry when you pray. But while you're crying and praying, you need to think, my tears are just the rain that's hitting the ground that's been in a drought. And sooner or later, your prayers will bring forth a harvest, a fruit, something that you can use, something that you can taste, something that'll fill you up and make you say, ooh, that was good, something that will work in your favor, your prayers. You may not feel nothing while you're praying, But if you can just keep going, if you keep letting it fall, the season is going to get right sooner or later. The season is going to come around for you to say, it's my season. You're going to become like Israel, new brain. It's a new season. It's a new day. A fresh anointing is coming my way. Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. See, God deals with us. He has to deal with them. We have to pray in the way that he wants us to pray. Elijah prayed like God wanted him to. Amen. He prayed not for just the good, but he prayed in the bad too. He prayed when there was no rain. Matter of fact, he worshiped God. He worshiped and he had fire come down from heaven in the middle of a drought. He prayed for that first. God, show yourself strong. Show yourself powerful amongst these people. And God did. Then he had a time when he was down. He was sad. He was depressed because Jezebel was going to get him. But he didn't stop praying. Look at this. He went back to the Mount Carmel and he climbed higher, put his head between his legs, and he began to call out to God. And when he called out to God, he saw a cloud, or better yet, his servant saw a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And when he saw that, he said, that's it. See, God may not do a whole lot at first. It may be just a little something that he lets you see. Why are you praying? But you need to say, you know what? I'll take that little bit. And I'm going to thank, okay, I prayed, now I'm going to thank God for it. And I'm finna publish what God is going to do. Ahab, get ready. You need to go eat because, and look, don't let the rain stop you. Ahab, it ain't no rain. Oh, I prayed. And I know what I heard. I hear the sound. You got to hear some stuff in prayer. That's why you can't just pray and say, you know, I'm telling God what I want. You gotta hear something. Elijah prayed. He told God what was needed, yes. But he heard what God said, that there's going to be abundance. I don't care, Elijah, if you only see a small cloud, that cloud is going to bring enough. I don't care if it's just a little bit, it's going to bring enough rain that there's going to bear, the ground is going to bear its fruit. Come on and say amen. We need to know that you got to hear something in prayer. I can't get up till I hear you, God. I can't get up till I know you spoke to me. And even if it's just one word, rain, I've heard enough, and I'm going to get up from there and I'm going to believe the one thing that he told me. I'm not going to stay here and be sad, depressed, down. I'm going to get up, and guess what? Once he got up, he was able to outrun the chariot. He was able to run in front of the man of God the king, so to let people know that God comes first. It's God. The king didn't bring this rain, but the King of Kings brought this. Oh, come on and say amen. It's yet another miracle done by God. That's what you need to start putting in your vocabulary. You need to put that sentence in your vocabulary. It is yet another miracle performed by God. I got many things that God has done for me. And so when I'm waiting on God to do something, I'm going to say, God, I know you're going to do it. And when it happens, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to say, now it is now yet another miracle performed by God. Oh, come on and praise his name in here. I'm going to have a life of prayer, because when I have a life of prayer, things happen. When I have a life of prayer, if you read that and you saw just what I saw, you see what James was saying, that in every situation, if you have a life of prayer, I'm not going to let my affliction stop me from praying. I'm not going to let me being happy stop me from praying. I'm not going to let a sick person stop me from praying, because sometimes we see people sick and we say, Lord, I don't know how to pray for them. I don't know what to say. Lord, look like they ought to get better. We see people sick. Things happen in our life to bring us down to a low point, but that cannot stop us from praying. Your children do stuff, and that should never stop you from praying. Your wife, your husband, whoever it is, people on your job do things that should not stop you from praying. You ought to have a life of prayer, and you ought to open up your ears, your spiritual ear. God is speaking. God is going to speak to some people this week. God is speaking if you open up your ears to hear what he's saying in your time of prayer.